And next, our guests join us two in the studio, one on the phone. 15 years ago, it was a radical program set up to keep teenage mothers in the education system. The school, He Huarahi Tamariki, started in a converted pub in Cannons Creek near Wellington in 1995. Now the school for teen parents, which has relocated to Tawa, has inspired another 17 across the country, with nearly 3,000 young women and men enrolled since the Ministry of Education record-keeping began in 2003. Has the concept proved a success? What's happened to those young parents who kept a foot in the door of the education system through a facility specially designed to meet their needs? Two of its alumni, because they are female. We've got to the bottom of it. Alumni if they're male. Two of its alumni join us this morning, along with Te Huarahi's principal, Helen Weber, in the Wellington studio. Good morning to you, Helen. And with us in the studio also is Frances Pearson, who had her final year at the school last year. Hi, Frances.
Hi.
And on the line is Helen Woolner, who finished at the school in 2004. Nice to talk to you, Helen.
Hi.
Let's get an idea of the school first, Helen Weber. What was the catalyst for it being set up in the 90s, and indeed by a name that's long been associated with it?
Right. The catalyst was Susan Baragwanath, who had the vision following a number of students dropping out of school. She was currently at Porirua College, and she was then doing some pastoral care work as well as being the assistant principal. Students were coming in and saying that they were leaving school, and what she saw was just the enormous waste around these young people. So the initiative that began then was a time in a classroom at Porirua College. I think they had a day dedicated to them where they came and they met and did some work. And the students then said, why can't we have a full-time school like this? And that's how it began.
What would happen in those days when young women left school to have babies? Do we have any sense of whether they'd ever get re-engaged with the education system again? Or
I guess there was a fond hope that at some point after they'd had their babies, they would be available to seek sort of further education or find employment. But there was nothing structured and nothing to assist them at this very, very vulnerable time. So there was a gap.
What was different about the school when it was set up? Obviously, it needed to cater for the specific needs of these students.
What was different was that it was a wraparound care. These students had children, and that was a vital part. There was a childcare available to them. So throughout, when it moved first to the whānau system and then to Cannons Creek and now to Linden, there's early childcare available to them, and that was an essential element. And the other concept, I guess, that has continued throughout is it's the removal of barriers. So there was support in terms of food, there was and continues to be support in terms of supporting the transport to the school. So the school had sort of this wraparound care, and I think that really made learning possible.
How old are most of the mums? Are they, you know, are they still more often mums than dads?
Yes, at the moment we've got only mums, and they range from 14 to 19 to 20, and the average age, I guess, would be around 17.
And the number of students that you can cater for?
We can cater for 50. At the moment, we're sitting around for term two, 45, but before I came in this morning, we actually had two inquiries on the phone, which we absolutely welcome.
Great. I'm going to do something here because our microphone is right in the way and it's very rude, and the listeners won't mind me, so I can see your eyes. There we are.
Thank you.
Marvellous, Helen. What about the emotional needs as well as the practical needs of students who are obviously going through a very sensitive, a very testing time for them very often?
Yeah. We see this as a hugely demanding time for young people. They're teenagers. They are thrust sort of into motherhood, and they also are keen to be students. So we try and cater for all aspects of the program. So the pastoral care is a very significant part, and we have a lot of agencies. We're very, very blessed with the agencies that come into our school and support us. So we have all sorts of people coming in to look at those cares.
Frances Pearson, you're a recent graduate from the school. What are you doing now?
I'm at university. I'm doing my Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Teaching. It's a conjoint degree at Victoria.
And how's it all going?
At first it was a bit mind-boggling, but I'm getting into the swing of things, so it's going well.
And so you started in 2007. Had your baby been born when you started? Is it baby boy or baby girl?
Baby boy, yeah, had been born. He was 4 months old when I started at HHT.
And had you heard about it before then, or...?
No, a friend of mine actually who also had a baby at the time had heard about it from her school counsellor, and we had gone out just to have a look, and immediately I wanted to start straight away, but I had to wait till the next term.
What was it that made you think when you heard about it, that's going to be good for me? What was it that did it spark with you?
It was just the fact of being able to do everything at your own speed, and you just had all the support behind you. You know, the teachers were just always just wanting you to, you know, accomplish what you wanted to do and see more of you and see you go forth with what you want to do.
Explain what it is like for a young woman who's having a baby. All sorts of stuff going on in your head and your emotions and decisions to be made and things to be thought about. How did having this help with that? Did it help with that?
It did. I mean, at HHT, you've got all sorts of different support. Like Helen said, we've got the agencies that come in, we've got counsellors, we've got doctors, we've got nurses, we've got everything that helps to do all that. And, I mean, knowing that, it just gives you that, I don't know, it boosts your self-esteem to know that there's something out there that's going to help you and you're not just stuck in this rut and you won't be able to make something of yourself.
Is that a bit how you did feel before that?
Yeah, definitely. I had no idea what I was going to do. But, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was be a stay-at-home mum for the rest of my life. I wanted something behind me.
Before you had your baby, did you have a sense of, I want to go on to tertiary education, or I want to do this, I want to do that, or it hadn't formed in your mind yet?
No, not at all. That didn't form probably till about a year ago when I was at HHT, when my teachers actually said to me, you know, you've got the brains, you can go on, and you can get a degree, you can, you know, you can do whatever you want to do.
The self-esteem issues were around what before this?
Oh, just around the public and everything like that, all looking down on teenage parents, thinking, you know, all they do is go out and do this and they shouldn't, they're just children having children, and just the fact that it just brings you down, and to know that there's people, adults, that are out there that, you know, are going to back you up and be there for you and want you to achieve is... just builds it so much.
And with those attitudes that you were picking up before you went to the school, does that, I mean, do you take that on board and start to believe it yourself?
Oh, yeah. All teenage parents do. When you're walking down the street, you know, and you're pushing your pram or whatever, and you just get, people just look at you strangely, you know, and it just makes you, just doesn't make you feel that good, that's all.
So you want to go on and become a primary teacher?
Secondary teacher.
What about the practical care issues?
Well, I had a real tough time for about, I don't know, a year it would have been, trying to get my child into daycare after, like, I thought about it a long time before I left HHT because I knew about the waiting list and everything like that. But, I mean, I always had the Griffin, which is the creche, which is off HHT, to look after my baby and that when I was at school. But to go out on my own and have to find different daycare and then people saying, oh, you know, no, we don't have space, sort of just makes you... start to think, oh, well, am I going to be able to go out and do something
so
with
that,
myself?
That's a real barrier, especially perhaps for a young mum where you might not have any finances or assets built up to back you on that. Well, you must have found the minute you walked in the door that, you know, some magical place had been presented to you.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't change anything about the school, and I'd recommend it to any teenage parent.
Helen Mulner's with us also, former student. Helen, hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
And it was a few years ago. How old is your boy now?
He's almost 10.
And so you started school after he was born or before he was born?
Before he was born.
So how did you hear about the school?
The principal at the college that I was attending had suggested it to me when I told her that I was pregnant and was going to leave school. So, yeah, I sort of knew about it before then, but not in too much detail.
Where were you at in your own mind with all this going on in your life and knowing that you're leaving school? How would you describe how you were?
Well, before I sort of got pregnant, I was sort of falling off the rails at school. So when I got pregnant, I decided that I would stay at school and get a secondary education so that I could help my children, my son at the time, with his schoolwork. So I decided I'd go back, and then when I started to show, I didn't want to stay at school anymore, and I was sort of hoping my mum would pay for correspondence. I didn't really want to go to the school for teen parents at first.
Were you getting a hard time at school once you were showing?
No, I just... only my close friends knew that I was pregnant, and I didn't want it to be, just talked about at school. I didn't, yeah.
There's a shame, even in this day and age, there's a sense of shame that someone will feel.
Yeah, definitely.
What made you change your mind about the school for younger mums?
Well, it was the principal at Porirua College. She said it was a really, really good school, and I just kept saying to her, oh, I'd rather just be at home, do correspondence. And then she mentioned that they offered a free lunch, and that was it. I sort of...
So there is such a thing as a free lunch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to do all the hard work and the free lunch.
Fair enough, it's not free.
But that was it. I decided then that I would go down and have a look.
Well, you know that one works, Helen. So, Helen Wilner, you got there, and I'm getting a sense that you just didn't want other people around. You just wanted to be almost withdrawn while you were going through this. When you got there, what changed your mind?
I spoke to... I went down there with the principal from Porirua College, Suzanne Youngerson, and we spoke to Susan Baragwanis. And she basically told me that the school was catered for young mums and how it worked. And I also knew a few girls down there. So it sort of it made it a bit easier for me because it wasn't like I was going to some new place where I didn't know anybody. And we were sort of all in the same boat, really. So, that was what made me decide I would go to the school.
You were pregnant at the time you went there. And does the school... practically address the things that you were needing to learn, well, were learning, but were going to need to learn also when your baby arrived?
Well, because we were most of the girls there had already had babies when I started, and there were only a few of us that were pregnant, so the school addressed the education, and the girls, we would all just talk about our own experiences as parents and becoming parents and what it was like and, you know, sort of all the scary things like labour. And so we learnt off each other as well.
How important was that, do you think? I know it's hard to sort of think about what might have been the alternative, but how important was that in preparing you to parent, especially at a young age?
I don't think anything can really prepare you for becoming a parent.
And Frances is agreeing wholeheartedly with you.
it's nothing can ever prepare you for it. It's just something that you learn as it comes. Being a teenage parent, you're a child, but it's just as hard, I think, as being a parent, learning how to be a parent when you've got a career and everything, you know. I mean... The difference is we're not financially and educationally prepared. But, learning how to become a parent is something that you just pick up as you go along.
What works about the school? What worked about it for you?
The childcare was a big thing. At the time, we were at the pub at Cannons Creek, so the childcare wasn't directly next door. The good thing about having the childcare associated with the school was I was breastfeeding, and I was able to go over whenever my son needed to be fed, which was important to me. I wanted to breastfeed for as long as I could, and the school made that possible. And the fact that the teachers were... so supportive, and they knew your situation, so they were never they were never too forthright, I suppose. Like, they didn't force you to do work, they were just supportive.
They were flexible, when there'd been a bad night and no sleep, that was understood.
Yeah.
What areas of study did you gravitate towards? Because what is clear from the pair of you is this is not creche facilities, to keep some young women busy alongside. You've both got stuck into your studies, where did you gravitate towards?
Science. I was initially doing art when I started at HHT, but then I picked up biology, and then that's what I took further at university, and then I changed to chemistry.
And so you went to university when you left school, and what did you study there?
I'd done a Bachelor of Science, initially majoring in biology, but then I changed it and majored in chemistry. Now I'm doing a Master of Science in chemistry.
So you've graduated with your BSc?
Yep.
You're doing your Master's?
Yep.
Could you have seen that found out that you were pregnant?
No way. I mean, it wasn't even part of the plan. My plan was just to get a secondary education.
Frances, obviously there are challenges once you have, if you are going to carry on with the education, once you have got to uni, and has that been a difficult route? This isn't all an easy good news story. What sort of challenges did you find once you got there?
At university? It was quite mind-boggling at first because, I mean, at HHT we had such a close relationship with our teachers, and they were there whenever we needed them. You know, we had their home phone numbers. We could ring them up and be like, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me, you know? And then to go to university and have none of that whatsoever, you know, you're in a class of like 300 people and this person just standing there telling you all this stuff. It's such a change, you know? It's definitely a wake-up call.
How old was Luke by the time you started university?
He's three now.
He's three, so he's still a little guy. So there's the financial and needing to get care for him while you're studying. How has that worked out?
It's worked out a bit tricky. I mean, Working Income didn't actually start paying because when Luke started Kindercare, the crèche he's at now, they said, well, you need to put him in now or he's going to lose his space, which was back in January. And Working Income wouldn't give me my 20 hours free until I was actually at university in March.
The 20 hours free is under what sort of system? Under the... Is this the training, not the training allowance that's going, is it? Is it
no, this is early child
care. The early child ones, could, yeah. Which is a broad-based system for early childhood, 20 years free. Okay. Yeah. What about financial support for you as a student?
Well, because I'm also currently receiving the benefit, I don't have any other student at
allowance.
All. No.
So it's tough financially for anyone who does want to kick on in these circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. Like at the moment, I'm working two jobs as well as receiving my benefits. So, I mean, it is tough.
You're
it's
earning
real
what
tough.
You can and getting to the maximum you're allowed to.
Yeah.
What about for you, Helen? Because there's been this debate, there was the move by the Social Welfare Minister last year to say that the training incentive allowance for tertiary institutions for those on the DPB was to go, I think, or to be cut at least. Yeah. And put up her arguments for that, which is that others, you know, found themselves feeling like they were in an unfair situation sitting alongside a mum. Is there an argument for that extra support, or is it the case that a lot of people who might be under financial pressure have to find their way to get their education at that level?
I think I'd like to see that there could be some extra support for longer, because I think it's a very demanding thing to go into study and to organise your childcare. And if you need to get an extra job, often you'd have to have a very supportive family behind that, and some of our students don't. And I think that any money put in at this point in time would really be repaid to society in general later on. So I'd like to think it could be looked at further.
Frances, would it have made any difference to you? Would it have allowed you to structure things a different way while you're at university?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it would help me a lot with my study and everything, because I wouldn't have to work other jobs, and I wouldn't, you know, I'd be able to be at home, and, you know, it would just make things a lot easier because I'd have that extra money there, you know, that I wouldn't have to go out and work for and take time away from studying and from being a mother and, you know, the rest of it. But
you've got to be incredibly motivated to make this work, right?
Oh, yeah.
Helen Woolner, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's tough on any student who doesn't have children and has to work two jobs, because being a parent is full-time in itself. So for Frances, I feel so sorry for you. having to work two jobs and studying and being a mum, that's a whole lot of work.
Yeah, it's full on.
Yeah.
Helen Weber, we're hearing success stories. Mums who are motivated have got on, got their qualifications, got on to university. For many of the mums, and we'll talk about the dads in a minute, actually, I'm interested to hear who uses the school, but for many of them is the reality that the university study might be beyond them. What do you consider to be a good outcome for these young women that they might not have had if they hadn't had the school?
I would think that one of the good outcomes would be that these young women have choices and that they leave school feeling stronger personally, stronger as parents, and we would all love to see them believing in learning and engaged in lifelong learning, feeling that they can offer their families really good role models. So with choices might come some tertiary study, it might be towards employment, it might be towards parenting for a period of time, but that they just leave our school feeling really good in themselves and really valued.
So many might go to the situation where they are full-time mums, or they might have part-time work, or...
Yes, I mean, there's a range of possibilities, and often there are different times in your life that are stepping stones, but I think if people can leave HHT feeling good about themselves, they are giving a lot back to their children.
That issue of self-esteem and how you think about yourself keeps coming back, and Helen and Frances, is that the really big one in many ways for you guys?
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
What about the school then being picked up, the model being picked up and taken across the country? The teen parent units, they're called. How many are across the country now, Helen?
There are 18, and they're throughout New Zealand. I think we have need for more, and as the need is kind of articulated, I guess, to the ministry, new ones are looked at. We have a professional body called ATPENS, which is... the Association for Teen Parent Educators. So there's a considerable sort of professional work around meeting the education of this specific group.
I'm speaking to Helen Weber, who is principal of Te Hua Rahi, an original school for young parents set up in Wellington. We've just heard there are another 17 across the country. Also speaking with two of its graduates. Frances Pearson's here in the studio with me, and Helen Wilner's on the line. You're listening to Radio New Zealand National, 9 to noon. So how does the structure work? How are they funded, the new schools that have opened up and yours now?
We are funded through the Ministry of Education, and also if our students are receiving a benefit, there is some tertiary funding, some training incentive allowance funding, which goes for them. And we get, at HHT, we get some funding through the Ministry of Social Development, and that supports some of our welfare needs and our food program.
They sit, we're in the education system. They have to be attached to a state high school.
Yes. For example, ours is Wellington East Girls, and you are either on the base school, or in our case, they're our host school and we're apart, but we're very much involved with their governance structure.
It makes sense that they have the Board of Trustees, and they do all the administration, and they do all the curriculum monitoring and that kind of thing. Does that make sense? Or?
Well, each unit has a separate kind of response to that. Overall, yes, but some of that can be delegated out, but definitely there is an overall view of it. And
I asked about the teen dads. Do you have some coming through?
We have had some. To be a teen dad and attend the school, they need to be a primary caregiver. And at the moment, we currently don't have any, but it's a possibility. And the ones who have been through have been successful.
Did either of you two have guys in your class? Or?
No.
I'm wondering if it's
I did.
Did you, Helen? And how did that go for him?
I'm not sure what he's doing now, but, I mean, he worked really hard when he was at school. I think he enjoyed it, yeah.
And he was primary caregiver to his child? And
No, at the time, you didn't the father didn't have to be the primary caregiver when I was at the school. Mm. This was before it moved to... Oh, no, I think that happened not long after I'd left HHT. Yeah.
But he was actively involved in his child's life and parenting his child. And and this was a means by which he could do that and also continue his education. What about, we've talked about that business of leaving and how it's a very different world when you do. Do you keep in touch with the school, Frances? Do people keep in touch with each other?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, since I've left, I've already been out there like twice, you know, and gone through my course outlines of my uni, and they've all said, you know, just come out and see us if you're struggling or you need help with anything like that. I still get texts every now and then, and from the teachers going, hey, how are you? How are you doing? You know, so...
And Helen, 6 years since you left, do you still have any contact with the teachers or with your fellow students?
Yeah, a lot of contact. I still go on every now and again. I've remained good friends with my biology teacher and many others at HHT. But my biology teacher, she's retired, so I still ring her up at home and, you know, have chats with her and stuff. In my first year at uni, I went in all the time when I didn't have classes, and if I had midterm breaks, I was studying at HHT. They were kind enough to let me stay there and study.
So they continued, actually, that sort of pastoral care continued after you left?
Yeah.
Helen Weber, have you got students who we're hearing still come back? Do you keep in touch with most of them?
We are developing this even more because we do have an open door policy. We absolutely love seeing our students. We love reporting back to our community to how everyone's going. I think that's an important thing because we do have a wonderful sense of community behind us in terms of people supporting us and donors and resourcing. And they love to hear the stories and we love to share them. So we encourage that.
Interesting, the basis of the curriculum is the correspondence school, which provides so many services people aren't even aware
yes.
of. Some of us still think about it, you know, broadcasting to kids in rural areas.
Yes.
But what is its role in the curriculum you're able to provide and how important?
It's very important to us. It gives us a range of courses because our girls come in at different stages, multiple levels, and within that we have teachers who unpack some of that and actively also teach that material, and we're also able to use other providers and link with tertiary institutions, and we run STAR and Gateway. So in fact we do all the roles of a school. We're like this little sort of microcosm school. Mm. Yeah,
but they provide a very important basis for you, their material.
Yes they do.
Interesting, the parenting classes, which the government's now, I think, looking to introduce more widely for young parents. So that's a key part of what you do as well, antenatal
yes.
classes.
And antenatal classes. Yeah. At the moment, they're organised by birth education, and we have those running throughout the year. And we do pregnancy and childcare. And our civics allows us to deal with any issues that our students are interested in or we see a need for.
What got you involved with the school?
I think prior to this, I had a year as DP at Mana College. I'd been in the Porirua area all my teaching life, but I'd also been a social worker and a wee bit of work with youth justice. And I didn't actually select it. A friend saw the advertisement, cut it out, sent it to me and said,
"This is your next job.
This is you." And sort of... I looked at it and thought, yep, there is a really good match of background and skills. I'll give it a whirl.
And it's very satisfying work.
Are there
some for whom it doesn't work?
Yes. And sometimes we see some students who come in, because we run a very structured program, I think you'd agree, every sort of minute is fairly much accounted for. We run a timetable. Mm. And for some, it perhaps asks too much of them at that point in time. Sometimes we see those...
They can come back later.
Return on the flip side. Uh-huh. We also are very welcoming that if you drop out, it really is an open door.
Yeah.
But I'd have to say there'd be a small percentage who opt, come look and think, this is not for me.
And Frances, how old was Luke? Was you say 4 months or 2 months
old? Yeah, four months
old. You are naked and you're dealing with so much and you're sleepless and you're thinking, what's happened to my life? And at the same time, this, you know, you can understand for some that it's not the right time, but for you it was.
Yeah, well, definitely. Like a lot of girls, when they come in and they're pregnant and stuff, you know, they'll see the school and they say, well, you know, I just want to be at home with my baby, which is fair enough, you know, for some people. But then they'll get to the point where their baby's 3 or 4 months old and they'll say, you know, I need a break or something, or I want to do more than this, you know? And then they'll think, hold on. And then they'll come back to HHT and they'll re-enrol. Mm.
Helen Warner, what are your plans when you graduate with your master's?
Not quite sure yet.
PhD, I suspect. That biology teacher's got a lot to answer for, hasn't she?
Yeah, well, she was awesome. They all are at HHT, so enthusiastic about what they're teaching. So, I mean, it's contagious.
So you're not sure yet? It might be further study?
It's possible. It's possible, but yeah, I'd quite like a job at some stage, yeah. Preferably in research.
Great. And Frances, you know where you're going? You're going to be teaching?
Yeah, well, I've got a long 4 years ahead of me, so we'll get to the end of that and then we'll go from there.
It's been good talking to all of you. Thank you. Frances Pearce in the studio. Helen Warner was on the line. They are former students of He Huarahi Tamariki, which began out in Cannons Creek 15 years ago. Now 17 of these schools, 14 parents around the country. And also there was the current principal of the school, Helen Warner. Good talking to you all. Good luck with it all.